Our series of interviews on homelessness in the region out in the cold turns to focus on Lane County today. It is by far the most populous county in the region, with 150,000 more people than the next largest, Jackson County. And not surprisingly, Lane County's count of homeless people is higher, too. Many programs have emerged over the years, including what was called Opportunity Village Eugene and is now Square One Housing. But that's Eugene. There are other communities in Lane County, lots of them. We'll talk to two of them today. From Shelter Care in Springfield, Jane Romero is the director of programs. She's with us. Hi, Jane.
Actually, Risa is here.
Risa.
Assistant Program Manager at the Schenkel Program.
Okay. Assistant Program Manager. Good to know. And what's your last name, Risa?
Holden.
Risa Holden. Okay, thank you for joining us. And Ariane Bolton was supposed to join us, too. Is she with us?
No, she's actually, so our lead outreach worker is with us also.
Yeah, that's
Darius Pomeroy.
Mm-hmm. Name again, I'm sorry.
It's Darius Pomeroy.
Darius Pomeroy?
Yep.
Okay, good to have you here. Thank you both for joining us. Mike Fleck is with us as well from the Community Sharing Program in Cottage Grove, where he's the executive director. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
And Mike is also, we should point out, on the Cottage Grove City Council. That's still the case, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you all for joining us today. Let's talk about shelter care first. I mean, the story goes way back, apparently. Risa, can you give us a little history?
So we started approximately 1970 to serve people that are homeless families, and then we progressed to serve people with serious mental illness. And through the years, we progressed to serve lots of different populations. So we focus on families, individuals, people with mental health issues, people that are seeking respite after the hospital, and also brain injury. So now we serve about 375 people every year.
All right, so way beyond housing. I mean, many more services and more comprehensive stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Darius Pomeroy, how in your role in outreach, how do you what do you do? I mean, do you look for people who need services and don't have them yet?
Yeah, so one of our main goals actually in outreach is kind of going out in the community and meeting people really where they're at in the streets. One of our main goals is actually to kind of go out and really direct people to the available services in town. And another thing we try to do is just kind of give basic counseling to people and just kind of see where they're at, and if there's anything that we can do, just, you know, chit-chat with people.
Is it primarily focused on Springfield?
No, we try to go to Eugene and Springfield areas.
And so is there a continuum of care established in Lane County that prevents overlap of services, make sure you guys aren't doing the same things or, you know, twice for the same person?
I can speak a little bit to that. We're trying to start focusing on that with outreach, because there's so many people that are homeless and so many new people that become homeless, to really specialize and focus on referring newly homeless people to programs that can help them do outreach, and then also specialty programs. So our outreach team serves people that are chronically homeless. So it's people that have been on the streets for a while and then also have a severe mental illness. So we're looking for the best match to really try to connect with as many people as we can, and also just make sure that we're not overlapping.
Let's move on and talk about the community sharing program in Cottage Grove. There's a lot of different aspects to it, Mike Fleck. Give us a sketch for what you do, and then we can zero in on what you do for people without houses.
Well, you bet. So we are one of four community service centers in Lane County. There's one in Florence, one in Cottage Grove, one in Eugene and Springfield. So I represent one of the two rural community service centers. And as such, we have three basic areas that we serve our clients. We have basic needs, which would be our food pantry, laundry vouchers, and then a number of other smaller assistance programs, prescription assistance, et cetera. We also do housing assistance and energy assistance. And in our housing assistance, we actually don't place folks in housing, but help with deposits and rent assistance. And we manage state and federal programs for all of the above.
So not finding the places for people to live, they have to do that, but you can provide some financial assistance along the way.
Well, and we will refer folks, of course. We get a list from the county I'm trying to remember. I think it's every week we get a list of available ones from the property management companies in the area, and so we certainly try to refer folks to housing opportunities, but we're not actually involved in that placement.
What is the housing and shelter situation in Cottage Grove? I mean, we're talking about half an hour away from Eugene here, so not quite in the urban center of Lane County. I just wonder if things like the vacancy rate is as big an issue out there as it is in town.
Oh, absolutely. It's terrible here. And on that list, there are occasions where there's one or even no available rentals. Now, that, of course, once again, is just covering the property management companies, so there may be rentals out there, but I think it's a clear sign of how limited available housing is. And that's something I'm trying to work on, both in my role as director here and as a city councilor.
Well, that's the next obvious question is how much the city council talks about homelessness and remedies.
We've certainly been looking at a lot of different things. We've just begun the process to look at our buildable land supply. So we're going to see if urban growth boundary expansion is warranted or not. We're also looking at, the city just ended up hiring a former county commissioner to be our public works and community development director. And so he's also been looking at ways to streamline and help development go through the government process. As you can imagine, that's, quite involved. And so trying to help encourage housing development through that. We're also in the very early stages of looking at possibly doing a new urban renewal district, and as part of that discussion, affordable housing might be part of that. Just like I said, we're trying to look at it from all sides and see what it is we can do, but it is a large problem, and as you mentioned, it's a Oregon and or even West Coast wide problem, so it's not likely to be addressed overnight, but we are making small improvements. We have a couple little developments going in, 20 units here and 10 units there. So there are some silver linings, but it's still a large problem at this point.
Yeah, we're constantly struck by the low vacancy rates across the region. We have now talked to the northernmost county that we serve at JPR, which is Lane County, and we talked to Mendocino County way to the south. Same story, general vacancy rates 2%, sometimes lower, and high rents as a result across the region. This is our Out in the Cold series on Jefferson Public Radio on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Mike Fleck, who's the executive director of the Community Sharing Program in Cottage Grove. He's also on the Cottage Grove City Council. And from Shelter Care in Springfield, we have Retha Holden and Darius Pomeroy with us. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Now, having said all that about vacancy rates and tight housing markets, we come back, Retha, to the issue with mental health, which is a large part of what you do at Shelter Care. How much of a part of the problem of homelessness is serious mental health? Serious mental illness, I should say.
Yeah, I think it's a gigantic piece. When people aren't able to meet their basic needs, symptoms go up, and access to medical care and primary care and all those mental health supports is dramatically lower. And if you're worried about how you're going to, feed yourself or where you're going to sleep tonight, or maybe you're going to wander around the streets to try to be safe, all that plays a key a key part into your stability and your ability to even move towards any goals at all.
What is the general age range of clients who are dealing with serious mental illness?
I see it across the board, really. I would say of our chronically homeless population, a good chunk of them are maybe above 30, but that doesn't mean that there's not homeless people that are much, much younger than that. So we do something called front door assessments, which try to get people onto a centralized county wait list for housing. And I did one yesterday where the person was 18. So it's really, really a wide range.
All right, all across the board for sure in age.
Mm-hmm.
Are these people who might have been in a state hospital decades ago?
Sometimes they're in and out of hospitals. Sometimes people just, homelessness comes in all forms. I think that that's one of the biggest misconceptions, is that you have to have done something wrong to become homeless, and that's not at all it. Sometimes it's an event, sometimes it's a fire, sometimes it's, a job loss, and all these things play into part to see how people get to be homeless, and when people have been on the streets and they're worried for their safety and they're not able to meet their basic needs, it's really re-traumatizing, and I think in those situations, a lot of times, cause things like PTSD, anxiety, different kinds of disorders like that. They're really key into this.
So there's a bit of a spiral there. I mean, if issues with mental health drive you to the streets, being on the streets is certainly not going to help.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Now, you have residential programs, is that right, at Shelter Care?
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the program that I work for is a residential HUD program, so we're 24-hour staffed. We provide support services. They're not so much mental health counseling, that kind of stuff that goes to one of our sister programs, but it's the support that will help people maintain the housing that we provide. So we have 16 people that live on site, and then we have some scattered site apartments where they're connected to us also.
Mm-hmm. And how heavily staffed is that?
So we have 10 employees here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also Garden Place is another residential program that has more staffing that's more of like a transition from state hospital before people transition into the community.
I asked the question because I'm just curious to know how intensive the support needs to be for people who are trying to stay in a house and stay and keep mental health issues under control. And
yeah,
whether it really helps to have people around them all the time.
Yes. I think that's one of the biggest things that we find here at the residential site is our people, a lot of them have been homeless for years and years and years. Our newest referral, he's been on the streets since 96. And so the transition from that life to living in, you know, a large building with 15 other people and staff plus, you know, everything else can be very, very challenging. Sometimes it's weekly interactions, sometimes it's daily. You know, it's really dependent on where people are at that moment.
Well, that's some story, though. Somebody's been on the streets for 21 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's take a call here. We have Bill and Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about homelessness in Lane County with Retha Holden, Darius Pomeroy, and Mike Fleck.
Hi there. I was wondering, as far as Eugene and all your cities in Lane County, if there's any movement with working with the city council as far as helping the homeless to developing alternative living situations, such as all these big, huge houses in Eugene and have them lessen the requirements as far as zoning and having so many parking spots for cars to let people put studio apartments in their houses. Because we've got so many bikes, we don't have to have parking spots, which I think zoning requires.
All right, good question. Thanks for that, Bill. And then either Retha or Darius, because you're closer into Eugene, do you have any perspective on what he's talking about?
You know, I think that there is some movement. I'm not super knowledgeable about the specifics of it, but I know that as you know, the city council is very aware that homelessness is a huge issue, and to really remedy it, it takes funding and changes, and sometimes those changes take a while. So I know that they are very much aware that there is a problem.
Mike Fleck, have you been on city council long enough to have been able to guide the discussion with the spectacles you wear at the community sharing program? I mean, I just wonder if the Cottage Grove City Council has been tracking homelessness as long as other cities with your assistance.
Well, Cottage Grove does not itself work directly with that. They certainly support, you know, the Lane County, you know, Human Services Commission, which really does that work specifically. Although, to address the gentleman's discussion, Cottage Grove actually has had accessory dwelling, availability for a number of years. I know there are many other cities that are doing that at the state level. And yes, I've been a planning commissioner, city councilor since 2000. So I've been doing this for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And now that being said, allowing those to actually be rented out, typically in our city, those have been allowed in the past more for, say a family member needs to care for another family member. So that is still an ongoing discussion I think we need to have as far as loosening up those regulations. But, you know, that also all plays into the state, land use goals in, infill and, trying to utilize all available land so that we're, reducing urban sprawl. So, I mean, I think it's a win-win all the way around if it's done well.
The ADUs, the additional dwelling units, we're talking, mm-hmm. apartments over garages, that sort of thing. Are those
mm-hmm.
somewhat common in Cottage Grove or becoming more so over time?
I think they're becoming more common. I don't think typically that's been utilized to the extent possible, but certainly something we're looking at. Like Eugene, we actually have a small group trying to build tiny homes in Cottage Grove as well. And so we're looking at our code to see, what barriers there might be and what we can do to address those. And like I said, we're still kind of working through that, so I don't know that I can really say we've completed work on that, but it is ongoing at the moment.
Let me switch hats on you and then take off the city council hat and put back on the community sharing program hat. I understand that you do have facility or at least some funds for getting people showers, laundry, propane, some supplies if they're mm-hmm. just not quite in a permanent place.
Yes, absolutely. So we utilize community service block grant dollars and Human Services Commission, Lane County dollars, to help fund those. And like you say, we do laundry vouchers, shower vouchers. There's a truck stop here that we work with as our vendor for that. Limited prescription assistance, DMV, you know, finding IDs for folks, helping them afford that is a really big barrier to other services. So that's something we've been very successful with. Our local DMV actually partners with us. We have a form we share, you know, so that we can make sure the clients have all the documentation they need for both sides of that equation. And it's worked out really, really well in our community.
If you were able to pump up the budget at CSP and Cottage Grove quickly, what would be the first unmet need you'd go after?
Well, our biggest unmet need is housing, of course. We actually do a pretty good job. Food boxes, we average something over 700 boxes a month, so that's 700 families. That's about 5,000 unduplicated individuals a year that we serve in our food pantry. Energy assistance with the LIHEAP program is the big federal program we do in that. We typically receive somewhere between 160 and a couple hundred thousand, and we usually are able to meet almost everyone's needs in that regard. That being said, this year we're a little lower at 140. We'll see if we get another allocation. But housing, we typically are turning away, I would say, one in four get housing assistance. Mm-hmm. So we're typically turning away about 75% of the people that come and seek housing assistance just because of the limitation on funds. And, of course, that's, you know, the biggest expense because typical rents, you know, are upwards of $700 to $1,000. And so the funds go pretty quick.
We're talking to the folks in Lane County about being homeless in Lane County. In our Out in the Cold series, Mike Fleck is with the Community Sharing Program. He's on the City Council. And from Shelter Care, we have Retha Holden and Darius Pomeroy. And so for the folks at Shelter Care, some number on your website really jumped out at me, that 43% of the people in Lane County earn less than the basic cost of living in Oregon. So that, and when, you know, hearing Mike talk about the average rents just in Cottage Grove, I assume they're somewhat higher in the Eugene Springfield area. So this is a problem when people can't afford housing. And I understand, too, that you have a homeless prevention program at Shelter Care.
I do. Yeah. So that is works a lot, mostly with families where somebody has a disability. So if somebody gets like a 72-hour notice, an emergency shutoff notice, something like that, they're able to step in with some emergency funds and help people out with that. So that's an amazing program. Mm-hmm.
Darius, you had given a name to the program that you're generally connected to. Tell us a bit about it.
The outreach program?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so one of our outreach programs, and one of the things we really like to do is just kind of go out in the community and talk to people and, like I said, kind of see where they're at. One of the things we try to do specifically with them is just really kind of understand their basic needs. And one of the biggest basic needs out there that people have is really like they don't have very well access to cooking stations or even a place to be able to refrigerate their food. That seems to be a really big problem because, I mean, it's fine and dandy to be able to get food boxes and stuff, but if you really don't have any place to store it, you know, your food's going to go bad. That seems to be one of the biggest problems that we have with a lot of people out there. You know, another situation, too, we get all the time is, you know, people constantly get attacked and beaten up when they're out, you know, homeless, especially if you don't have a group with. So one of the things we really try to meet with people and just kind of talk and see how they're doing and try to find safer locations for them to be able to maybe go camp at, you know, if they're not able to get into housing fast enough, so...
I know the yesterday, January 31st, was supposed to be the day of the point in time homeless count. Was that the case in
Lincoln?
Yeah.
Any word
back yet about how things went, what the general impressions are, at least if not in firm numbers yet?
No, I haven't got any firm numbers back, but right now, Michael, who works with Calc in town, I was going to try to call him up today and actually see if he's got any of the numbers back right now. But from what I heard from him yesterday, we had about 150 volunteers that actually went out into the community to do this point-in-time count. And we went to all sorts of places in Eugene, Oregon, and Springfield, really kind of even out in the woods and stuff, to a lot of these parks and stuff that people might not necessarily think that homeless people are at. But yeah, it was a really, really good turnout. I was really, really excited about it.
Aretha Holden, let me ask you the same question I asked Mike Fleck at the Community Sharing Program, which is if you could bump up the budget suddenly in shelter care, where would the money go? What would you fix or do that you don't do now?
It's such a hard question. I know he touched on housing. That's such a big need. So many of our new applicants and participants are homeless and have no hope of probably, you know, getting off the streets. They have no income, so some kind of rental assistance, but also the housing need. You know, I heard a statistic that we have like the second tightest rental market in the country. I don't know if that's backed up, but I wouldn't be surprised when you're talking about, you know, a studio going for $600, $700, $800 and people only make, if they're lucky, $750 a month on Social Security. You know, that need is just so dramatic. And then probably behind that, staffing, because we have so many people that want services and the need is so great, and especially this population that we serve of people that are chronically homeless with severe mental illness, that requires a lot of services. It's not like you go to your therapist once a week on your scheduled day and everything's fine and dandy between those times. You know, it's 24-hour crisis service and it's respite service and it's all these other things that people utilize that really they need to be able to have funding for so that they can get the support that they need.
All right. A lot going out there, obviously, and for a lot more people in Lane County, which, as we pointed out, is not just mildly the most populous county that we serve at JPR, but a long way there with 150,000 more people than Jackson County has. So a lot of people keeping busy, keeping an eye on people who are on the verge of becoming homeless or who have already gotten homeless. We're talking at Shelter Care in Springfield with Darius Pomeroy and Aretha Holden. Thank you for joining us today on The Exchange. And at the Community Sharing Program in Cottage Grove, also on the City Council, Mike Fleck, the Executive Director. Thank you, Mike, for joining us.
You bet.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.